The year is 2030. The world has changed. The past decade has been marked by extraordinary progress, innovation and change. Politics, business, jobs and society are barely recognizable. In many ways, the world is a better place. In lots of others, it isn't. Retail and shopping has undergone a revolution. You may not foresee this in the year you are listening. In these audio recordings that we have delivered to the British Retail Consortium, we will report back from the year 2030 to help warn, inform and light the way to the future. Good luck on the journey you have ahead. See you soon.
Hello, my name is Natalie Berg. I am a retail analyst, author, and founder of NBK Retail. I'm reporting live from 2030, and I can confirm that retail is alive and kicking.
Morning, Natalie. Your coffee is ready at the temperature you like it, and your appointments for the day have been confirmed. As I explained to you during your wake-up call this morning, we must now transmit information about the current state of retail and shopping to the British Retail Consortium. Cast your mind back to 10 years ago to when you and I hadn't met. If you can. Tell the lovely people how shopping has changed.
Well, the sector has survived the so-called apocalypse. The death of retail, which was widely reported sort of 10 years ago, that never happened. What did happen, though, was the death of mediocre retail. And here I am in 2030, and you could argue that perhaps that's not such a bad thing for shoppers, because today the customer experience is pretty spectacular. As customers, we've really never had it so good. And yes, there are fewer stores today, but these stores are more impactful. They're more engaging, more inspiring, and there's certainly no friction. In fact, as I'm reporting from 2030, I should break it to you that we don't actually use the word store anymore. I mean, for the sake of the podcast, I'll use it, but it's such a dated concept, this idea that stores were primarily used to, primarily designed to sell products. Now, some of the more progressive retailers caught on to this trend about a decade ago when they began calling their outlets town squares or clubhouses or guide shops. And there was, an element of eye rolling at the time. But I think, what we're seeing now is that stores have genuinely become hybrid places. 10 years ago, we talked about how retailers can differentiate from online by focusing on experience. But today, experiential retailing has just become the norm. So stores today are places to eat, to play, to work, discover, to learn, and even to rent products. So now in 2030, retailers have to go even further to wow us with experiences. And believe it or not, some are even charging admission fees. Meanwhile, products have become services and access now trumps ownership. So there's been a lot of changes in sort of consumer behavior and mindset and what they value. And lastly, we've seen the rise in pervasive computing, thanks to widespread 5G adoption over the past decade. So that means that we as customers are ubiquitously connected and we no longer need a store or a screen to go shopping. So our homes have gotten smarter, our lives are easier, we're spending far less time buying the essentials, and retailers have gotten to know us a lot better, so they can often predict our needs. So when we run out of toilet paper or pet food or toothpaste, these products are just automatically replenished. And it's actually pretty funny to look back at sort of 2019, 2020, when we used to have to rely on those one-click ordering buttons that we had plastered around our homes, or even asking Alexa or other virtual assistants to add it to our list. Because today, consumers can completely opt out of the transaction.
Well, I'm pleased it's easier for you. 2019 sounds primitive. Now you have got more time to do the things you like to do. Rumors of the demise of the high street were greatly exaggerated. Things have changed, haven't they?
So about 10 to 12 years ago, retailers had a light bulb moment. They've been so focused on catching up in e-commerce that they had been overlooking their most important assets, which, of course, is their physical infrastructure, their stores. And it was really only when the big tech giants, the big online retailers began opening stores themselves that legacy high street chains really recognized the value of their own stores. But of course, they needed to evolve. So if we fast forward to 2030, what we see is that stores have become frictionless. They've become experiential and far more service-led. And they've become hubs for fulfillment or mini warehouses. So to just explain a little bit more, I guess, about each of these things, on the frictionless side of things, retailers are using technology, they have been throughout the 20s, really, to bring the physical store into the 21st century and to level the playing fields with online retail by offering the same level of ease and convenience that you and personalization that you used to only be able to find online. And friction is a foreign word in retail now. Retailing is very much a seamless experience when you're in a store. So now when you enter a store, you know, provided you consent for the retailer to use your data, because of course GDPR is still around, the retailer immediately knows who you are and offers to digitally guide you around the store to help you find products. They'll ping you real-time personalized promotions, so there's no more blanket discounting. They'll offer recipe suggestions, or if you're clothes shopping, they'll recommend certain outfits. They know your body type and your measurements, so you no longer have to worry about, you know, variation in sizing. So it's a very much a hyper-personalized, technology-led experience. And in fact, we're now seeing merchandise-free stores have become a common sight on the high street. Dynamic pricing is widespread, but not on an individual basis, as some commentators had predicted would happen. There was too much backlash, and retailers didn't want to risk losing trust with their shoppers. Robots are around, but it's not the kind of R2-D2 robot you'd imagine greeting shoppers as soon as they walk in the store. Instead, what robots do in store are the mundane tasks like checking for gaps on the shelves or cleaning the floor, and that's freed up employee time to focus on the more customer-facing tasks. The biggest change, of course, on the friction side of things is the checkout. Cash is gone. We are officially, in 2030, a cashless society. In fact, some people have gone so far as to have microchips surgically implanted, so they never need to worry about forgetting their wallet again. Now, I know all of you in 2019 are thinking that sounds a bit creepy and dystopian, but we have to remember that more and more consumers are sacrificing privacy for convenience. So checkout-free stores are widespread, particularly in train stations and airports and in cities where they're catering to you know, busy lunchtime workers. 10 years ago, there was a lot of fear and hysteria that checkout-free stores would accelerate job losses in the sector. And I think what we've found is that there are still human beings when we walk into a store. It's just that their role is very different today. And I think it's also really validated that consumers still value that human touch. Other friction points that existed in 2019, like out of stocks or the fitting room experience, these have all been addressed, stamped out. So today, augmented reality and smart mirrors are everywhere. Store assistants are incentivized differently, and every employee in store is equipped with a device to help shoppers, whether they want to pay on the spot, whether they want to order a product that's not in stock, or if they need advice. And there's, of course, an opportunity then for employees to cross-sell and to engage more directly with consumers. So the experience is completely frictionless today in 2030.
Natalie, I often schedule time for you at department stores at your request. I wonder what you are doing. I assume it is for research purposes.
So, for example, if you take my local department store, it's turned its top floor into a co-working space. So I can come in, I can grab a coffee, set up my laptop, do a few hours of work. Then I can hit the gym or the spa, because those are both located on the third floor. or even the digital detox zone, where I can disconnect from all of my devices or take part in mindfulness exercises. Also, there's more green spaces today because retailers are utilizing their parking lots since driverless cars are now commonplace. I'll also need lunch so I can head to one of the many restaurants, cafes, or eateries in store. And before I head home, I might check in with Sally. She is my personal shopper on the first floor. She is human, by the way. But if she's not in, I can always speak to her AI holographic concierge. So the world has definitely changed. I can then do some shopping, or I can rent some clothes for my holiday next week. Because in the 20s, we hit peak stuff. And now we are happy not just to rent clothes, but also furniture and appliances and other goods. That doesn't mean that we're not still shopping, but we're happy to rent or to borrow products in certain cases. Because we'd rather spend our money on experiences, and the days of throwaway fashion are long gone. The circular economy has gained momentum in the 20s, and now we consume in a more mindful manner. Also, retail has become so much more collaborative. So if I want to collect or return an online order, I can do this at any store now, regardless of where it was purchased. And if I do this quickly, if I return an online order quickly, I'm rewarded with loyalty points or a money off voucher. So retailers over the past 10 years or so have gotten really creative and clever about incentivizing shoppers, rewarding loyalty, incentivizing them to behave in a desired way. And they finally addressed the ticking time bomb that was returns. And so lastly, stores have been repositioned to become mini warehouses to cater to, you know, the need for shoppers to collect or return their online orders, but also to cater to the growing demand for same-day delivery. Today, in 2030, in urban areas, one-hour delivery is the norm. That's the expectation. And if you're delivering within a couple of miles, it should really be 30 minutes. How has that impacted the physical space? Well, there's less selling space now because retailers have had to dedicate more square footage to fulfilling those online orders. And in supermarkets, the shelves are a little bit taller as retailers utilize the top shelf. There's more in-store pickers fulfilling orders, again, to cater to demand for fast one-hour delivery.
Yes, Sally sent over some outfit options for your dinner next week. She is extremely helpful. Natalie, transmit your final word on the topic of high streets.
When I walk down my high street in 2030, I see a community. In many ways, retail has gone back to the future. So high streets today are, they're hyper-local, they're personalized, they're focused on providing excellent customer service and experience. Now, all of this, of course, is enhanced by technology. But for me, it's been fascinating to see that the fundamental principles of retailing haven't really changed. At the end of the day, it's about being relevant to your customers. But some of the perennial challenges around accessibility, for example, parking, pedestrianized roads, these have finally been addressed. So it's easier for shoppers to get to high streets today. We see a lot of independent stores, and the playing field has been leveled thanks to technology. So, for example, independent stores have better visibility of store-level inventory, both for their own uses, but also they're sharing that data with customers, which makes it easier for shoppers to support their local high street if they have that visibility into what's in stock and what's not. The high streets also become a lot more collaborative. Retailers are utilizing beacon technology so they can target shoppers, you know, then and there. And, you know, the high street is also less about retail. We're seeing the emergence of more experiences, more food and drink options. And it's less about just selling stuff, less about products.
Natalie, what surprises have there been in the past decade?
Well, more big names unfortunately went under. But what was surprising is that some of the disruptors became the disrupted. So up until 2020, we were so focused on the threat that e-commerce posed to traditional retailers that I think we overlooked some of the major hurdles that e-commerce retailers were facing. And I think we really did see the first signs of cracks back in sort of 2019, 2020. We saw some profit warnings from the online-only brands. We saw some of the online fast fashion retailers make changes to their returns policies to prevent these so-called serial returners, people who abuse the system by, you know, buying products and then trying them on and, you know, maybe wearing them for a day and then returning them. That was a problem. That was an issue called wardrobing that just doesn't exist anymore. But actually, I think looking back on it now, the e-commerce brands were under a lot of pressure because the cost of shipping was going up, partly self-inflicted as they took part in these delivery wars and making, you know, the focusing on getting products to shoppers as quickly as possible. But the cost of customer acquisition had also gone up. Bricks and mortar retailers were upping their game, investing in digitizing their physical infrastructure and becoming more credible threats to e-commerce retailers. And also, shopping online is still quite transactional, quite a utilitarian experience, or it was in 2019. And I think it's been interesting to see how in the 20s, the focus for online retailers really shifted, not only by opening more stores, as we started to see back in 2019, 2020, but they also focused more on making e-commerce more experiential, more inspiring, more personalized through AI, for example. So now when we shop online, you know, tailored storefronts are now the norm. So you can you have a vegan storefront, a dairy-free storefront. If you're just looking for modest fashion or scandi homeware, it's very easy to find that online. So I think curation and providing an edited range and getting those products visible to the end consumer have really taken a focus. It's really been a focus for these retailers. Chatbots have gotten smarter, and of course, augmented reality is much more lifelike today in 2030, and it's helping to blur the lines between physical and digital retail. Another big surprise for me over the past 10 years was, you know, we were so focused on the so-called delivery wars, you know, with the big online retailers getting products to shoppers, you know, next day, same day, and then suddenly, you know, 1 hour delivery became the norm. But at the same time, we've also seen a sort of a reversal of that trend in that not every order, of course, is time sensitive. And I think retailers recognized an opportunity to reward shoppers for accepting slow delivery. So we've sort of gone again back to the future in that sense. And now if you in 2030, if you accept slow delivery, you are rewarded with loyalty points or in some cases a money off voucher. So really interesting to see how retailers have, you know, sort of halted the race to the bottom and tried again to make online shopping both convenient but also economical and sustainable.
Some say we're in the golden age of innovation, a time in which technology is transforming the underpinnings of human existence. Others say we're in a depressing era in which innovation has dulled human existence and living standards are barely rising. Thoughts?
Thinking back to 2019, this was a real time for experimentation when it comes to technology. And, you know, we should definitely applaud retailers for being proactive here. And it's easy to say this with hindsight, but looking back now, many retailers were guilty of pushing tech for tech's sake. I'm here in 2030, and I can tell you that some of that technology has had little to no impact on retail in the longer term. Drones, virtual reality, voice technology, all of these have a place in society today, but they don't play a major role in retail. With voice, for example, in 2030, you know, we all still rely on our virtual assistants for, you know, telling us the weather or adjusting the thermostat. But when it comes to shopping, we still prefer a screen. And also sort of the natural evolution of the connected home. Just as we saw in 2019, sort of the end of these one-click ordering buttons that we used to have sort of plastered around our kitchen and our homes, I think in 2030, what we're seeing is that products are automatically replenished. So again, it's just the natural evolution of the smart home getting smarter and us having to make fewer decisions and being able to opt out of that transaction. The biggest change in retail in the 2020s was the switch to artificial intelligence. AI has allowed retailers to become more efficient, to make sense of all the data that they're sitting on, but also to offer better customer service and much, much deeper personalization. Similarly, the arrival of 5G and the impact on the Internet of Things has also been astounding. Today in 2030, consumers are happy to sacrifice privacy for convenience. If we want products to be automatically replenished, retailers have to know what's in our cupboards. And at the same time, if we want virtual or even real life assistants to offer us a more tailored experience, then yes, we do need to hand over that personal data. Now, when we place an order online, the parcels find us. We don't have to find the parcels anymore. So that's been quite an exciting shift. It took a while for in-home delivery to take off, which is kind of funny looking back, because when it was first trialed in 2019, we had no qualms about using Airbnb or Uber at the time. But eventually in-home delivery has become the norm, and now we're happy to grant retailers access to our homes. Of course, most homes today are equipped with a smart lock and a video doorbell, which makes it easy to, let the couriers in. Sometimes it's a robot delivering our goods. Sometimes it's a human. If you're a loyal customer, not only will they put the groceries in your fridge, but they'll cook your dinner for you as well. So service has gotten a lot better. We also have smart parcel boxes, in most homes. So, the idea of trekking to a post office to collect a parcel that you missed, or waiting in line to return an item, at a store, that seems crazy now, because now, a retailer will come to your home to collect your returns. We have parcel post boxes on every corner, and you can also, return an online order to any retailer. So things have gotten a lot easier for the customer.
The problem with comprehension is it often comes too late. Natalie, explain to history what retailers should do differently to help optimize for the journey they have ahead.
Well, it might sound obvious, but they need to prioritize their people. Brand evangelism starts with the employee. And trust me, customer service and experience gets phenomenally better by 2030. But retailers can only achieve that if they have an engaged and motivated workforce. Automation is coming, and what we'll see is the low level tasks like checkout or stocking shelves. That's what will be automated, but that means it'll free up your employees to focus on more customer facing tasks. And employees need to really transition, just as the role of the store is evolving, the role of the store assistant must also evolve, and they must become, genuine brand ambassadors. They must be, able to, engage with shoppers in a more meaningful way. And, back in 2019, we all sort of raised our eyebrows when certain retailers were sending their staff to theater training, to drama school. But trust me, everyone does that now. I mean, employees need to provide such an incredible experience and service to the customer. And retailers really, first and foremost, have to invest in their people.
We can't run out of second chances. Only time. Natalie, deliver your final message.
Well, we have to be realistic. So I would say, first and foremost, brace yourself for more short-term pain. Understand that the sector is going through seismic changes, and it's been quite a painful transition up until now. But expect another few years of pain as the industry reconfigures for the digital age. But trust me, the end result will be worth it. Retail has had a resurgence. And today in 2030, the customer experience is stellar. But one word I can't stress enough is agility. You have to be prepared to evolve because this climate is just too unforgiving. It really is a case of adapt or die.
Time's up. Thank you, Natalie. Your schedule indicates you have a 47-minute break before a business meeting. This is the final audio file in the batch that we are transmitting to History to the British Retail Consortium. Please understand that we wanted to teach, enlighten and help you on the journey to today. Good luck on making your own future and remember, time is precious, so spend it wisely. Until we meet again. Shutting down and installing updates.